You're standing on the ramp. You just signed your student off for their first solo. You watch them taxi out, do the run-up, and turn onto the runway. The throttle goes in, the plane accelerates, and right there, the moment the wheels break ground, you can see it. The nose yaws left, the ball swings right, and instead of pushing right rudder, the student banks with aileron. I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern, on Radio Hangar, and today we're going to talk about the thing that follows every student from their first lesson to their check ride if nobody pins it down early. Left-turning tendencies. Four of them, and the one fix that addresses all of them, before we get into it. Big shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com. Okay, back to the runway. Here's the thing about left-turning tendencies. Every student learns what they are in ground school. They can tell you the names, torque, P-factor, spiraling slipstream, gyroscopic precession. They can define each one on a written test. But then they climb into the airplane, advance the throttle on the runway, and they completely forget all four the moment they actually need them. That gap between knowing something and doing something is exactly what flight training is supposed to close. So let's close it today. Let's walk through each tendency, what's physically happening, when it hits hardest, and how you fight it. Starting with torque, your engine turns the propeller. In most North American general aviation training aircraft, that propeller spins clockwise when you're looking at it from the cockpit. Think about Newton's third law. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. The engine rotates the propeller to the right, the propeller pushes back on the airframe in the opposite direction. The whole airplane wants to rotate counterclockwise, left rolling tendency. You already correct for this with aileron, most of the time without thinking about it. But here's what I want you to notice. In a high-power, low-speed situation, like right after you advance the throttle and start the takeoff roll, the effect is more pronounced. More power means more torque. It's not huge in a Cessna 172. It's very noticeable in a Piper Warrior. It becomes significant in higher performance aircraft, and in something like a World War II fighter, it was a major factor pilots trained specifically to manage. In your training aircraft, you're managing torque constantly. Most of the time, it's unconscious. The problem is when it combines with the other three tendencies, because they all hit at once. Moving on to P factor. This is the one students most often feel but can't explain. P-factor stands for asymmetric propeller loading. Here's what's happening. When you're in a climb, the nose of the airplane is pitched up. The propeller is spinning in a vertical plane that's tilted relative to the oncoming airflow. The descending blade, on the right side of the propeller arc, is moving down and forward through the air. The ascending blade, on the left side, is moving up and forward. Because the nose is pitched up, the descending right blade meets the oncoming air at a higher angle of attack than the ascending left blade. Higher angle of attack means more lift. In a propeller's case, that means more thrust. So you have more thrust on the right side of the propeller arc than the left. That unequal thrust creates a yawing moment to the left. Your nose wants to swing left. And it wants to swing left most aggressively when you're at high angle of attack and high power, which is exactly when. Climb. Especially the climb right after rotation. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. P factor is not constant. It changes with angle of attack. Level flight at cruise, the effect is small because you're at a low angle of attack, and the blade angles are nearly equal. The moment you pitch up, it grows. The steeper the climb attitude, the more pronounced it becomes. So every student who wonders why they need more right rudder in a climb than in level flight, that's your answer. P factor is also why certain maneuvers feel like they need a lot more rudder than others. Slow flight in a nose-high attitude with high power? You're going to need significant right rudder. Power on stall entry? Same thing. The angle of attack is high, the power is high, and P-factor is working hard against you. Third tendency, spiraling slipstream, the propeller doesn't just push air straight backward, it screws it backward. Think of a corkscrew. The propeller creates a rotating spiral of air behind it, and that spiral wraps around the fuselage. Eventually, it strikes the vertical stabilizer. The way the geometry works out on most single-engine prop aircraft, that corkscrew hits the left side of the vertical stabilizer first. When air pushes on the left side of the vertical stabilizer, the tail goes right, the nose goes left. Another left-turning tendency. This one is constant as long as the propeller is turning. It doesn't vary as dramatically with angle of attack as p-factor does, but it's always there in the background. It contributes to the general left yaw bias that single-engine pilots deal with in any powered flight condition. This is also partly why many single-engine training aircraft are rigged with a slight built-in offset. The vertical stabilizer is angled very slightly, or the empennage is canted just a bit, to account for spiraling slipstream in cruise flight. The designer picks a cruise power setting and trims out the slipstream effect there. That's great for cruise, but at higher power settings the effect is stronger, and the built-in correction isn't enough. You're back to needing right rudder. And fourth, gyroscopic precession. This one trips people up because it requires thinking about physics that isn't intuitive. The propeller spinning at high RPM acts like a gyroscope. Gyroscopes have a property called precession, which means that when you apply a force to a gyroscope, the effect doesn't appear where you applied the force. It appears 90 degrees later in the direction of rotation. Here's the practical application. At the moment of rotation during takeoff, when you apply back pressure to bring the nose up, you're applying a force to that spinning gyroscope. The force is acting to pitch the nose up. 90 degrees ahead in the direction of rotation from the top of the propeller arc is the right side of the propeller arc. So the force shows up there, and the result is a yawing tendency to the left. This is most pronounced in tail draggers. When a tail dragger lifts the tail during the takeoff roll, that rapid pitch change applies a strong precessive force, and the nose wants to snap left hard. It's one of the reasons tail dragger endorsements exist and why learning to fly in a Cessna 172 first doesn't fully prepare you for a Piper Cub or a Citabria. Gyroscopic precession during the takeoff roll in a tail dragger is significant and demands your full attention. In a nosewheel aircraft, the rotation is less dramatic, but the precessive force is still there and it adds to everything else that's already pushing the nose left at exactly the moment you need it straight. So, four tendencies: torque, p-factor, spiraling slipstream, gyroscopic precession. They all want to yaw the airplane left. And they all hit hardest in the same conditions: high power, low airspeed, high angle of attack, which describes every takeoff and every climb. The fix is the same for all four: right rudder, not aileron, rudder. Here's where a lot of students go wrong. They feel the nose yawing left, the ball swings right, and instinctively they push right rudder. But then the nose swings too far right, so they chase it with left aileron. Now they've introduced a bank. The airplane starts a gentle turn to the right. They correct with left aileron. The ball is swinging around, the climb is sloppy, and by this point, they've forgotten entirely that all of this started with left-turning tendencies. The discipline is to keep the ball centered with rudder. If the nose yaws left, add right rudder, smoothly, incrementally, until the ball comes back to center. Not a stomp, not a jab. A smooth, deliberate input, and then hold it. Because the tendency doesn't go away, you're not correcting once. You're holding right rudder throughout the climb because p-factor and spiraling slipstream are constant forces. Let's walk through this together with a normal takeoff. You're at the hold short. Run-up is complete. You taxi onto the runway and line up. Before you advance the throttle, take a breath and remind yourself, right? Rudder is coming, you add power. The propeller is already producing torque and spiraling slipstream from the moment the throttle moves. The left-turning tendencies grow as power increases. You're using right rudder to keep the nose tracking straight down the runway centerline. In a Cessna 172, it might feel like not much. In a higher performance aircraft, it might feel like a lot. Either way, you're managing it from the very beginning of the roll. As airspeed builds and you approach rotation speed, you apply back pressure. The moment the nose comes up, p-factor and gyroscopic precession both increase. You need more right rudder. The nose breaks ground. You establish the climb attitude. Right rudder to keep the ball centered. Here's where students usually drift. They rotate, they establish the climb, and then they relax the rudder pressure. The nose starts yawing left. They've unconsciously let go of the correction that was keeping things coordinated. The fix is to make holding right rudder in the climb a deliberate, trained habit, not something you do reactively, something you do automatically. One of the best things an instructor can do is sit beside a student during the climb and just say, quietly, ball, just that one word. It prompts the student to glance at the inclinometer, see where it is, and correct. Do this enough times and the scan becomes automatic. The Airman certification standards for the private pilot certificate are explicit about coordination. During the normal takeoff and climb, the examiner is looking for coordinated flight throughout. The ball should be centered, crossed controls in the climb are a sign something is wrong. And an uncoordinated climb with the ball displaced isn't just an ACS issue, it's a safety issue. An uncoordinated aircraft is closer to an accelerated stall than a coordinated one. That's not theoretical. That's physics. Here's the big picture point. The four left-turning tendencies are not just a ground school lesson, they are a daily reality of flying any single-engine propeller aircraft. Good coordination is invisible. When an aircraft is coordinated, it looks like it's just flying. The ball is centered, the wings are level, the nose is tracking. When coordination is bad, the airplane looks like it's working against itself, and the people watching your departure from the ramp can tell the difference. I said at the top that the climb tells your instructor everything. I meant it. In the first 10 seconds after a student rotates, a good instructor sees the whole picture. Are they managing the left-turning tendencies? Is the ball centered? Are they using aileron to fight a yaw? All of that information is right there in the first 1,500 feet of the departure, a practical drill that helps. On your next training flight, after you've established the climb and you're comfortable with the configuration, have your instructor cover the ball with a piece of paper. Just stick it over the inclinometer. Then try to maintain coordinated flight by feel alone. This is harder than it sounds because most of us confirm coordination visually. When you take away the visual reference, you have to feel the side load on the seat cushion. You have to feel whether the aircraft wants to slip or skid, and then when the paper comes off, check where the ball actually is. See how close you were. Do this a few times. The feedback between what you feel and what the instrument confirms is how you build real instinct. For students getting close to their check ride, here's what I'd add. During the ACS oral, you should be able to explain all four left-turning tendencies. Not just their names, but the mechanism behind each one. Examiners ask about this because it reveals whether you understand the aircraft or just flew around in it. If you can explain why P-factor is greatest in a high angle of attack, high power situation, that tells the examiner you're thinking about the physics. And this doesn't stop mattering after the private certificate. In instrument training, coordination is critical because uncoordinated flight creates misleading attitude indications. In commercial training, the ACS standards are tighter and the maneuvers are more demanding. In higher performance aircraft with more powerful engines, the left-turning tendencies are stronger and the right rudder requirement is greater. The habit you build in your first training aircraft follows you through every certificate and every aircraft type you ever fly. Start building it now. Right rudder in the climb, ball centered. Every time. The FAA's Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge covers all four tendencies in detail, and it's available free on the Federal Aviation Administration's website if you want to go deeper on the physics. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern. See you next time.